this song. A man was wheeled here in a wheelchair
in the afternoon.
He had a crooked back for 21 years. His son said he had an accident and that he moved in his Z fashion. That is, his bent like Z. And unable to walk free. There he was this morning on the wheelchair. I gave an altar call and I was wondering, why are they bringing somebody on wheelchair for the altar call? Never knowing that God wanted to heal him. It was drastic. It was dramatic. Are you purposely doing slow motion? Can you make it move? For 21 solid years.
23
solid years. If he was able to stand at all, he was bent like letter Z, Z. Like Americans say letter Z. We say Z. If he stood at all. His son who brought him, that's the boy, overwhelmed with tears. When you see a big man like this crying, drastic, dramatic, dimensional. Somebody who is about to experience something drastic, something dramatic, and something dimensional. Shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord.
Abu onye di kagi Chukwu di ebube onye di kagi onye nenye ndu Almighty God, there is nobody like you. Eche to die sike.
Are
you here? Papa, you can stand still. Hey! Unchangeable God, unchangeable God. Unchangeable God, unchangeable God. We
He was pushing the wheelchair that pushed him. I'm sure he thought he said he should enter the wheelchair.
Doesn't want to touch the wheelchair.
Something drastic will happen to you tonight. Drastic, dramatic, dimensional. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. The sweetest part is when God does it and the evidence is with you. The evidence is with you. Somebody who is about to witness God do it for you, say amen. Supernatural shift greetings, sir. My name is Brother Kingsley. God is really at work. I was tested diabetic at a very high level of 30 millimoles per deciliter. That was very high. Since February last year, it defied all treatments. But at the prophetic word, during that is no drugs could crash it, no insulin could crash it. But at the prophetic word, during this supernatural shift fast, for the first time in 1 year, it dropped drastically. Somebody said drastic. From 30 millimoles to 6.5. Within normal range. Give the Lord borderline normal range. Give the Lord a shot. It dropped drastic. It dropped drastic. It dropped drastic. It dropped drastic. Somebody stand up on your feet right now. Lift your hands and lift your voice and speak to God right now. Give me a drastic testimony, a drastic testimony, a drastic miracle. Do something drastic in my life tonight. Will you ask God, do something drastic in my life tonight? A miracle, a testimony that is drastic, a testimony that is unusual, a testimony. Go ahead and tell God something drastic. Something drastic. Open your mouth and speak to God. Something drastic tonight.
If your blood pressure is high, your blood sugar is high, whatever is high around you must crash and drop now. If there is a situation around your life that is a drastic, that is negative, it must drop drastic now.
Drastic. Drastic. Jesus' precious name. Let me read this for us to see how God works. The Lord has shifted my family in a drastic manner, sir. My husband has been jobless for 7 years now. There was a time around 2018, I sent you a message to please pray for him to be favored as he was to attend an interview. You replied, divine intervention. They didn't call him. But I did not lose hope. November 2019, you visited our house in the dream. And my husband had you told him clearly that God has wiped his tears. And you were smiling while saying that. On 12 December, that is this 2019 now, after the November visitation, my husband got a text message from a workplace, that is, she mentioned at the Afit, congratulating him that he is successful. In that same interview he attended in 2018. The one that he was told congratulations and it didn't come to pass physically. What's happening? 2018. Even though it tarry, wait for it. It must come to pass. He said, that confirmed the dream we had. We then were waiting to be called to come for employment later for over a month. That is since December last year. Now, they did not contact us. On 13 January, that was 2 days ago. Today is 15th. You made a declaration at the end of the service that stir up the ruggedity in us as like soldier. And also the testimony I had woke up something in me that night. Now, this is what she said. On 14th of February, that's yesterday, early in the morning, I told my husband to gather his documents and proceed to that office that he should tell them he came to collect his employment later. Hey! You have heard nothing yet. He says, sir, daddy, he was told that his letter has been ready. They couldn't explain why they haven't invited him to come and start the job. My husband's employment letter was signed 2nd of December 2019 to resume work 2nd of January 2020. And the devil sat on it. He said, but we drastically collected it. Hey! We drastically collected it on the 14th of January 2020. Finally, sir, God wiped our tears away. Thank you so much for allowing God to use you. He said, if not that we went there by divine instruction, that is how that job will go again. That is what has been happening for the past 7 years. Ay, 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 ay. To them, drastic means by force. And I think it means by force. From the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom suffer violence and the violent take it by force. Whatever belongs to you that the devil has denied you, it shall enter your hands by force. Anywhere your letter is ready, employment letter, anywhere whatever belongs to you is ready, the
that the devil is hiding, the devil is covering, tonight by the mystery of that testimony, it is released in your hands.
So shall it be. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. What a wonderful God. We have many, many more testimonies who have been sent, but for the sake of time, so we can handle the assignment of tonight. To God be all the praise. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 to verse 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. I'm sure you remember that we are still in our month of dedication for supernatural shift. And this is midweek service. So we shall be having the message titled, The Duty of Man. And it may be a two-part preaching. So this may be part one. The duty of man. Our assignment, our objective is to understand what the whole duty of man, the duty of man is as far as God is concerned. Understanding the whole duty of man. The second thing is to understand the fear of God. And the third is to understand the benefits of the fear of God. We want to understand the whole duty of man, want to understand the fear of God, and want to understand the benefits of the fear of God. Two basic duties have been enumerated in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Two duties. Number one, duty. Fear God. Number two, duty. Keep his commandments. Fear God. Then, keep his commandment. It is when your duty is understood that your destiny can be guaranteed. When your duty is understood and undertaken, that destiny can be guaranteed. It is when we do what God wants us to do that we can become who God wants us to become. So, we are here tonight to look at duty number one. That is called the fear of God. Fear God. Fear God. The question is, what is the fear of God all about? Of God and reverence, they move hand in hand. You know the way children in Africa are taught to respect elders. The way we are taught to respect royalty and to reverence royalty in our clan, multiply that many times. That is what the fear of God refers to. You know, when they say a child does not fear adults, means he's looking at you and looking at him, he can't say good morning, he can't say thank you. If an adult steps into a room, he doesn't know how to stand up from the chair like we do in Africa. And they say, oh, that child doesn't fear adults, doesn't fear people. It means he has no sense of reverence, no respect. The fear of God means a heavy sense of respect for Jehovah, a heavy weight of reverence for your maker, a heavy weight of honor for your creator. You know, everybody who knows you know that you honor God. Everybody who knows you know that you respect God. Everybody who knows you know that you reverence God. That is what the fear of God means, number one. Number two, it means not taking God and his principles for granted. You are not taking God and his principles or standards for granted. You are not exhibiting any trace of over familiarity with God. Those who don't fear God are overly familiar with God. They are too familiar with spiritual things. You are not taking God. There is not a trace of familiarity in his presence, not a trace of carelessness in God's presence. Joseph, speaking in Genesis chapter 42 verse 18, said, "But I fear God. I fear God." Beloved brothers and sisters, we live in a highly irreverent society. We live in a very highly casual generation, where the fear of God has largely disappeared from the church. You see, people do in God's presence what they will not do in the presence of a governor or a mortal king. They won't. And that is why the move of God is so dry in the lives of so many people. So casual, so careless. There are those, for the whole of the 60 minutes or 1 hour in service, they are busy communicating with another person on the phone somewhere. Something you cannot do before an earthly king. Chewing gum, permanent. Some people say they do that to keep them awake in church. But I doubt whether that is easily doable in front of a king. No familiarity, no trace of familiarity with God. The fear of God is our number one duty. Number three, what does it mean to fear God? It means existing in the consciousness of the judgmental side of God. Existing in the consciousness of the judgmental side of God. Understanding that God is a God of mercy, who is also the God of judgment. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, where we read, he said, whereby we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. Fear him because he can consume. Existence in the consciousness of the judgmental side of God. Many Christians are familiar with the God of mercy, but they are ignorant of the God of judgment. Many claim to love God, but they don't fear God. Am I communicating at all? You know, there were only very few people God called his friend in scripture. Number one, Abraham. Number two, Moses. Number three, David. The friend of God, they were called officially. And this Moses, who was his friend, one day his friend changed eye. He saw the red eyes of God. When he carried out an instruction contrary to what God said, God said he should speak to the rod. He smote the rock twice and spoke to the children of Israel, "You rebels, must I give you water from this rock?" And God said, "Moses, you have touched the tail of a lion, and you will learn a lesson you will never forget. You will take the children of Israel to the foot of the promised land, but you will never enter. You disobeyed me. You failed to honor me in the eyes of these people. You will take them to the foot of the mountain. You will never enter. Climb this mountain. Look at the other side of Jordan. See the land. Joshua will take the people to the land which only your eyes will see but will never enter. When they were at the foot of the mountain, Moses begged God, please permit me, I'm sorry. God said, don't mention this matter anymore. It's a closed chapter. That's the kind of God we are talking about. That is the kind of God we are talking about. Don't mention it anymore. So it is important that we understand that the God of mercy is a God of judgment. There are those who only understand the love of God. They are not aware of the judgment of God. And there are others who are also at the other extreme. They only know the judgment of God. For them, everybody, God is looking for who to send to hell. They don't know the love of God. There is a neat, healthy balance. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Talks about the goodness and the severity of God. That we serve a God who is both, who combines goodness with toughness. The goodness, and behold the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. This is New Testament. Where grace is preached, you will not miss it. The fear of God. Number four, what the fear of God means? Maintaining a conscience that is void of offense towards God and towards man. A conscience that is clean of offense. According to Acts chapter 24 verse 16, you are living in the realm where you can't afford to offend God. Here and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. You can't afford to offend God. You can't afford to offend God. Your conscience is clear. Your conscience is clean. Those who don't fear God, I mean, they can do anything. They don't care what God feels. They don't care what man feels. But when you fear God, what you do towards God matters to you. And what you do towards your fellow man matters to you. Am I communicating at all? It matters to you. You have a conscience that is working. There are people who don't have a working conscience. They have a conscience that is dead. When someone is in pain, they are not aware. They don't care. Whatever happens to God, they don't care. When you fear God, you have a conscience that is awake. A conscience that pricks. The fear of God. When you fear God, what does it result into? What kind of action do you embark upon from the fear of God? What actions will the fear of God provoke? Number one, to fear God is to keep his commandments. He said, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. So when you cannot fear God and not keep his commandments, that is, you want to do what he says. You don't want to argue with him. Let me want what you want, oh my dear Lord. Let me love what you love, oh dear Lord. That is how you design life to be, Lord. Help me, Lord, to live how I ought. That is how he designed life to be. That is how he designed it. Those who don't fear God, they can carry the Bible, toss it upside down. Is this one means? No, I don't think so. It can't mean so. God, you know, just. They are in negotiations with God. To fear God is to keep his commandments. Number two, to fear God is to depart from evil. Is to depart from evil. In Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13. Proverbs chapter 8 and in verse 13 he said the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. In fact, to fear God is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth. Do I hate? If you fear God, you hate evil. If you fear God, you cannot be recruited into wickedness. They can't look at your face and call you to join them, pull down somebody. You can't. Anything that is wicked is hated by you. You can't fear God and be involved in the pain of another. You can't fear God and be fraudulently involved in what is not correct. You can't. There is something inside you that hates evil. Are you following what I'm saying here? Wickedness, evil. You can't be there. The fear of God will make a lecturer fail a child because he refused to bribe him. I was talking to a young boy the other day. I don't know whether he is truthful, but he said that in his 400 level, a particular exam officer asked him to bring money and he refused. And he said, I will show you. Long story made short, he manipulated his results until he was withdrawn from the school in fourth year. How will such a person face God in eternity? Or somebody send his daughter to school and you thought you have found a sin partner. Commit sin with me, otherwise I'll fail you in exam. Do you understand that kind of a thing? It is the bankruptcy of the fear of God. Why you see people selling other people's, selling human beings and call it spare parts. The fear of God. Somebody, demon entered his head. He carried a whole human being. And is negotiating on the head of a person. Send something million. The Lord kill every killer in this nation. Are you following what I'm saying here today? A conscience that is gone is dead. Take your seat. Lack of the fear of God. When the fear of God is there, you will not plot anyone's downfall. You won't be involved in anything that does not glorify God. You won't be involved in what hurts God or hurt man. To fear God is to hate evil. And thirdly, to fear God is to reverence and worship him. Reverence and worship. You reverence, you worship him. 2 Kings chapter 17, I think verse 36. I saw a connection. But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall you fear. And because you fear him, him shall you worship. And to him shall you do sacrifice. Your worship will flow out of your reverence, out of your fear of God. Psalm 5 verse 7 also mentioned, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. In thy fear, in your reverence, in reverencing and fearing you, I will worship. Psalm 96 verse 9 also made the point clear. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Listen, the deeper your reverence of God, the deeper your worship.
When you see people at times prostrate and lie down, even on mud ground, when you see some people, tears flowing like water, when you see some people behave as if they are nobody before God, it is not stupidity. It is not lack of mannerism. Something conquered their heart. Hallelujah. I have a heart by His grace that can be very, very audacious, very forceful, aggressive. Very, 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 very. I told myself, I say, if I was in the military and I was an Air Force man, I would be a fighter pilot. But when I am in the presence of God, the opposite heart appears. Am I communicating at all? The fear of God, the fear of God conquers your heart. It deepens your worship. I see somebody experiencing the baptism of that fear tonight. What are the benefits of the fear of God tonight? Number one, access to divine wisdom. Any man, any woman who walks in the fear of God can never lack wisdom. Job chapter 28 verse 28, he said, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. That is wisdom. Psalm 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9. Verse 10 also, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who fear God are connected to divine ideas. The fear of the Lord links you up with divine inspiration, strategic concepts, access to divine wisdom. The meaning of that is, whenever a person does not walk in the fear of the Lord, he will walk in the abundance of stupidity. A lot of reckless mistakes. A lot of careless moves. Two, access to unusual insight and divine secrets. This insight is different from the first one.